The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Thursday, December 21st, 2023, season 19, episode number 93. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and today we're going to talk about the Miami defense versus the Cowboys offense. We'll catch up on some injury updates here to get us going. Brian, what do we know about these three players? Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, and Malik Hooker.
Yeah, the seem to be getting the positive. I didn't get an update on Smith, and I think it's one of those things that they I need to circle back on that one. I didn't get an update on that. The other ones were improving.
Okay.
And I say that with the thought, I mean, I'm kind of learning my lesson about saying, "Yep, they're going to play this week," because I heard, "Yep, they're going to play this week," and then they didn't play. So I don't want to make people feel go the wrong way here. I think that's important, that if people want information, you give them the right information. But we need to circle back about Tyron Smith and what, you know. Now, he naturally doesn't practice during the week, and right. And this is going to be an important one when we get into the Dolphins' defense about having him on the field. This is going to be an important one for that regard. So, but the other ones I was told are making improvements towards playing. So let's see how that works.
Yeah, the thing that kind of concerned me is you look at the injury report, and we've been used to Tyron being on the injury report as a rest. Yesterday it was designated as a back. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that makes me a little bit worried, just because of the history of the player. Does that concern you guys at this point from the standpoint of just his history?
There's always things with Tyron Smith that you have to worry about. You have to worry about the neck, and you have to worry about the back. Because when his back tightens up, it seems like there's always, okay, now what's – it's all about rest. And does rest mean – does it mean practice rest like they're trying to, or does it mean like he's going to have to miss a game because it's tightened up that bad? And that's what I'm saying. I need to reach out and see if I can get any information before the end of this show, and kind of figure out, is it something we need to worry about, which we're talking about right now, because it is a concern, because we always worry about Tyron Smith when he could get on an airplane and sit in the seat for 4 hours flying, and next thing you know, his back tightens up for the game, and now it's not good, and you're having
take it a step further. He can be on the field dressed up in full uniform, not really practicing, but just standing there to get that paycheck, but not play in that game. Yeah. So it happens a lot with him where it's last minute, or he does miss more than one game back-to-back. So it's definitely an area of concern, because there are other guys that are on there, and you see it next to their name say NIR, rest day. So that's a tough one. And then add on Zach Martin on top of that. Yeah. I don't even want to think of a scenario like that with two of them out. I don't know what happens. We're dead. I don't know. I started freaking out. But yeah, with Zach Martin, I think what I've heard lately is just they're still waiting to see a day-by-day type of situation, because it is a bruise, but then you don't really know until you get further along how that's going to look and all of that.
Yeah, the word was that I asked, I go, how you feeling? And my guys were saying it's to the point where he's getting better every day. Mm. So there must be – the bruising must be – that's collection of blood there. Those are the kinds of things when you have a bruise that leads to tightness. Can you move? So with the improvement every day, we'll see. I mean, they need all these guys to line up. They really, really do in this one.
The reports are from Zach's standpoint that it was because it's a deep bruise.
Yeah.
What tends to happen is there's kind of the pain associated with it. There's also the muscle, like the ability,
the weakness
to fire,
right?
And it sounded like it wasn't firing. That's why he couldn't go back into the game. So if it's something like that, then I don't know if anyone knows until it's firing the way it should be, how long it's going to take for it to start firing again in the way that it needs to. So that's the part I assume you just don't know.
Yeah.
What do they do if Tyron can't play? What happens from a standpoint of personnel? We've had this conversation ad nauseum about Tyler Smith, and does he slide out, or do you just throw Austin Richards in there? What do you think they would probably do if they didn't have Tyron Smith for a week?
My gut would be that they would play Austin Richards at left tackle. Is what I always talk about, or we as a group talk about it as like, oh, it's simple, just kick Tyler Smith to the outside, and then go ahead and kind of navigate it that way. But the fact that you've also got maybe Zach Martin being at D1 are really weak in two spots. You're going to need someone to block Bradley Chubb. We'll get into that. You're going to need somebody to take care of that. But I think that they would put Austin Richards at left tackle, let him start, and then try and navigate it from there.
And we've seen this scenario before already this season, so it's already happened. They've seen this happen. Now, I don't know what you do if both of them are out. If Zach and Tyron are out, what would you guys do? That's a really tough one.
Yeah. Hard. Long.
Yeah. They would probably do the, like you say, I think with Austin Richards would be the adjustment, and then they'll do what they did in the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
And with the guard, and so I that's kind of how I think they would work about it.
How did Tyler Bass look to you in that game?
You know what? I tell you what. There was only the one time where they gave up a sack. He was beat right off the jump, and all of a sudden it turned into, when he got beat, then Rico Dowdle had to come and pick up his guy because it happened so quick. And then what that allowed the Buffalo linebacker Dotson, once he saw that Dowdle was blocking, he just said, okay, well, I'm going to rush. I'm going to key blitz this thing. And so when his key blocked, he immediately rushed. And that, then Russo gets inside, Dotson gets there, and then they have, they split a sack that way. That was the one time that I felt like that he was not good. But other than that, he comes in and plays pretty well. It's not like it's just this huge drop-off. I know it's Zach Martin, Hall of Fame guard. But when you expect like this big, massive, just, oh my gosh, they can't block anybody with this guy. And he comes in and he does a good job. He works well with Biotish. He worked well with Steele when they had to. So, but that one time was when you went, oh geez, okay, now I understand why when you don't have Zach Martin in a game, this is what you're going to get. Sometimes you're going to get. But, that's sometimes these offensive linemen do get beat. But with Bass, he's a pretty dependable guy.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say that with him too. With TJ Bass, he's a guy that a lot of people over on that football side talk very highly of him.
Absolutely,
and they like him a lot. I remember going back to preseason game, talking to Tyler Smith, and him asking him the question, "Who has impressed you the most in the O-lineman group?" And he mentioned TJ Bass. So they like him for a reason. I think he's a guy that it's talented and he can do, be a plug-in player when needed. But, of course, totally different playing level than when you take out a guy like Zach Martin.
Yeah, that's the thing with Bass is that there was a lot of people, and I know he was one of the guys that we talked about on the draft show quite a bit, and like, okay, who are your best available guys? Who are your best? You get to the third day of the draft and you're starting to think about guys with traits and sixth, seventh round, who's your best available? And Bass's name was always coming up on the list. And so when Dallas signed him as a free agent, then you were kind of like going, okay, here's a guy that probably should have got drafted. And didn't get drafted, but Dallas was able to sign him and make it work. And he's done a really nice job. He really has.
Frankly, between Bass and Richards, I'm actually really happy with what they've got out of these young offensive linemen, and excited about what the prospects can be going forward with them. Because there are areas of this offensive line that are getting older, and you're going to have to have some key parts that you may have to replace here in the next several years.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into the Miami defense. There's a lot to talk about here, particularly starting with Vic Fangio. He is a defensive coordinator that's given the Cowboys some problems in the past. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
The 2024 NFL Pro Bowl games are taking over Orlando, and the roster's up to you. Cast your ballot for the 2024 Pro Bowl games. Vote and send your favorite Cowboy players to compete in the ultimate AFC and NFC showdown this February. Vote now at DallasCowboys.com/vote.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by Blockchain.com.
We came up with a really good idea.
What's that?
If they're going to play games, you know, they're playing tug of war and all that's for these games.
Yeah.
You know, we figured out they needed to do a 4x4 relay.
That'd be fun.
Two of the guys have to be big men relay guys.
I love that.
Two big men, two hills.
Yeah.
Two fast guys, two big men. And the big man has to anchor. It has to be the anchor.
That would be outstanding.
So, yeah.
I'm tuning in for that if they
get
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and dodgeball and tug of war and all that. Give me the 4x4 relay with two of the guys being offense or defensive linemen.
See, that's where I think it would be so much fun. But knowing the NFL, they'd be like, oh, there's a chance they could get hurt. Like, we don't want to.
They could get hurt in dodgeball.
That's my point.
They could hit the head with a rubber ball.
But I would bet somebody would be like, oh, no, they could pull something. Like, they run every day. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But that would be outstanding. I'd be in on that.
See, I'm not interested in the flag football game. But I would be interested in a 4x. It's the only thing we're going to do.
Yeah.
And the winner, the winning group, their charity gets money they get money for their charity.
Yeah.
They pick a charity, and the winning team gets and you have to pick two fast guys and two little guys.
That would be so much fun.
And two heavy guys.
Because, you know, there's some big guys that can move. Like, there's some big guys in the NFL that can move, right?
Yeah.
That would be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, but it has to be a relay.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think the stadium would be electric.
No, it would. Yeah. It would. All right, let's jump into the Miami defense versus the Cowboys offense. I mentioned it before the break. Vic Fangio was the head coach in Denver back in 2021.
Yeah,
they beat the Cowboys 30-16 that
Shut
day.
Shut down pretty
and
good.
And after the game, he talked about how he had a blueprint for beating this Cowboys offense. My question for you is: number one, does he do the same sort of things here in Miami that he was doing back in Denver?
Yeah, the thing that he's going to do, and it's really interesting the way that they play. He's really He's a zone concepts guy. He's going to play a lot of zone, 75%. If you look at the metrics, 75% zone, 25% man. Even though he's got a really good man player in Ramsey, which he's absolutely going to use in this game. I mean, you watch the Jets, and maybe it had to do a little bit with the Jets in their quarterback situation, that they felt like that they can match up and play a little bit more man, you know, against Zach Wilson and maybe make that work. And they were able to do that. The Jets' offensive line, as we all know, was just horrific, and Miami took advantage of that. The numbers will tell you too that this is a team with 48 sacks. 32 of those sacks have come with four-man pressure. So they're not really 32 of them have come without bringing a blitz. So that's the second most in the National Football League, by the way. They bring four-man pressure 39% of the time. So that's second best in the league. I mentioned this about, they play something that when you watch them on tape, they play a group or a coverage called cloud. Mm-hmm. And cloud coverage is, let me give you an example. Cloud coverage, they play it 26% of the time, and you're kind of like watching like, okay. Buffalo plays it 30% of the time. Buffalo is just ahead of them in the amount of cloud coverage. And what cloud coverage does, it's one of those things you usually can recognize it on defense because the depth of the cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. Like one cornerback will play up and the other one will play back. And then so you kind of got a at the line and you got a soft one. Mm-hmm. And what it's designed to do is pre-snap, it looks like cover two with the two safeties. But it's designed to take away the deep ball and also help you in the run is what it's done. But you can attack the middle of the field with it. And the seams you can attack. The Cowboys do have – so Vic Fangio plays a lot of cloud coverage. Mm-hmm. And you could tell by the – like I say, you could see how the corners are playing up and back and then with the two deep looks. So he's going to make Dak – he's going to make Dak try and read his coverage. And every quarterback goes into the game trying to read the coverage. But he does it in a way to help himself not give up the deep ball. And we saw that last week with Buffalo. Buffalo was not interested in letting you throw the ball over the top. Mm-hmm. And they play that coverage slightly more than what the Dolphins play.
So let me ask you this real quick. When you say one of the corners plays up, one plays back,
right?
Is that because it morphs kind of into a cover three? The one that's back kind of covers a third of the field.
The back one does move back. The one that plays up is responsible for everything to the outside of So he's up. It takes away that. The one that's back, again, it kind of gives you that four. It gives you like four across look. Really what it gives you right there. And that's where we saw last week with the Cowboys. What were they dealing with? They were dealing with five underneath, four underneath, mm-hmm. with two guys behind or one guy behind.
Right.
And they were trying to make it appear like there's no seams. There's nothing. Right. There's no way to throw
make
the ball.
Hard, yeah, it's hard to find.
Hard to find. Yeah. So let's see if the Cowboys and the Buffalo game might have helped them in this regard of having to deal with like, okay, we saw this last week.
Yeah.
We saw this coverage last week, and we had problems with it. Let's figure out ways. And like I say, the middle of it, the middle of the zone, you can attack, and then it also you can deal with the seams or another one that you can attack.
If I remember correctly, back in 2021 when they played Denver, there was a lot of talk about them running a lot of match man.
Yeah.
Explain for the visitors, for the listeners, what that kind of is, and then do they use that in Miami in the way maybe they use it in Denver?
Yeah, and match man is what you want to, with what you do is that you find the way to – it's exactly what it says. You just find a way to match your guys up with.
And it looks kind of like zone before, but then it kind of morphs into man.
It morphs into man. Yeah. Exactly right. So you have guys back, but you have everybody underneath playing man coverage. Yep. Or you have a single high safety, everybody playing man underneath. And now that they have Ramsey back, they're able to play that where he could travel. Now, he didn't travel all the time. But the thing you know about Ramsey in this game was we always talk about guys that travel. And they're like, well, just put CD in the slot and he won't be able to. No, Ramsey will go in the slot with him. Mm-hmm. So that's an advantage that they had.
Is he better in the slot? Same in the slot?
He's he's a hard guy to complete the ball on.
Yeah,
he really. I mean,
no matter where he lines,
no matter where he lines up. I mean, if you look at the corner, the corner that I think that you know that you absolutely need to. I mean, and if as we get into their corners, this secondary is struggling with health like their offensive line. I mean, Xavier Howard is a really good player. We'll see if he plays this week. Deshaun Elliott, we'll see if he plays. He's been in concussion protocol. Javon Holland has been a safety. You know, they've all missed time during the thing. And the one player that people have is that the opponents have attacked is Kadar Cahou. Is I think how you say his last name. It's Kohou, Kadar Cahou, and so he's the guy that teams have kind of gone after. He's the one that's played the most coverage snaps, and teams have had success. He wears number 4, and so Ramsey will travel, and then Eli Apple and Cahou, those guys will play the other positions. In studying the Eagles game, there was no Ramsey, but Cahou, he was involved, and he had his share of issues in these games. You know, and I was looking for, okay, give me teams that've got good wide receivers. The Jets were a hard game to watch because their quarterback's so damn bad. Mm-hmm. You know, so now you're really not getting a feel of how they're playing coverage. But Ramsey's a guy, me personally, I don't know how often you want to go at him, because if you look at the metrics, he hasn't given up any touchdowns. It's a 50-50 proposition whether you're going to catch the ball or not. Mm. He's either going to knock it down or maybe catch. He's right at 48% for completions on him.
So you'd stay away from him, even if that means that you don't get your top receiver involved.
It's a problem. Uh-huh. I'm not saying you just have to completely abandon. I just think you have to be careful.
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful. Ramsey lives for these kinds of moments to play in games like this. And he did a great job against Garrett Wilson for the Jets. But again, the Jets' quarterback situation is bad.
Yeah.
So now, you know, is there, you know, are you with Dak or in Lamb? Do you say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and go after this guy anyway? So, but I would look at Apple. It's depending on if they don't get Howard back and others back in this game. But I would look at Apple and Cahou and look at those guys and see if, you know, that might be the route better off in this game.
Who's the most dangerous player in the Miami front, and where they line up, who are they matched up against, who's going to be the primary person for the Cowboys going to have to deal with?
Okay, this is where your Cowboy injuries kind of come into play here. If, in fact, Smith and Martin can't go, because Christian Wilkins is a beast inside.
Defensive
tackle. And he is a combination. He's got power. He's got quickness. He's got speed, agility. I mean, he's off the charts for his size, for how big he is. He's just one of those types of guys. The movement traits, they're second to none when you watch him play. He can penetrate. He can be disruptive. He plays the run well. He plays well against pass. Okay, he moves around. So it would be Smith and Martin having to deal with him. So you feel like that maybe you're in good shape there. Bradley Chubb on the outside usually plays as the right defensive end. And so he's the guy. He has a lot of Tank Lawrence traits to him because he plays the run so well, too. Mm-hmm. So if you try and run the ball at him, off it would be your left side. He could be disruptive because he's strong. He gets up the field. He knows how to, like, he reads scheme. If you try and block him a certain way, he's able to get off. He plays with his hands well. And he's a really, really good pass rusher. And he's just kind of a relentless guy. He's super active as a pass rusher. So, in my opinion, of your front seven, those are their two best players. Now, they're at linebacker. They played that. We've seen it last week with a little bit of a lack of size. David Long is an inside linebacker. He doesn't have great height, and he doesn't have great bulk, but he's super aggressive. These linebackers attack. Play action could be big against this group because all of a sudden, if you kind of get things going, play action will bring these linebackers up. You block the front. Play action gets them up. Now you got seams behind, or you've got area behind these linebackers because they're so interested in getting downhill and attacking the run. That's what they want to do. They want to attack. As soon as they see run, they're all attacking there. They're going to play gaps. They play with really good discipline, and they tackle very, very well. but their linebacker, like I say, Long, he's too aggressive, and you can get plays in behind him that way with the play action. It might be a good opportunity for the Cowboys if they can get it going.
One other thing I noticed, Miami right now is sixth in rushing attempts against, but fifth in yards per attempt,
yeah,
which suggests that teams want to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
They haven't necessarily been successful in doing that. When you think about it from that standpoint, is this a game where the Cowboys really should be focused on their passing game, or do you think they are going to really have to go heavy on the run in order to set up the pass?
I think they're going to. It's going to have to be an element. I was encouraged by what they did against Buffalo and running the football. I was encouraged by that. I think Pollard is finally finding it.
He had some good runs in that game.
Now the question will come in too, though, if no Smith and no Martin, how much you might have to run the ball or try to run the ball just to keep this pass rush off the top of off Dak in this game. Play action would be good if they can get the run. As I was saying, it can be good to use in this game if they can get the running game going. But the way the configuration of the secondary right now, how banged up they are, if it's the guys that played against the Jets last week, and then I think that they're, with the exception of Ramsey, Eli Apple and the others, I think you could find ways to make some plays on those guys.
You know, I'm thinking of like what the Dolphins break would be talking about when talking about the Cowboys offense. And just looking at the opposing side, like, Dallas does have very talented players everywhere on offense, weapons. When you were talking, even if they take out or follow
Lamb
the whole time, you still have Cooks. You still have Jake Ferguson. Michael Gallup is still there. With him, you never know which kind of game he's going to have, but you've seen him be good. You still have Tony Pollard in there too. Rico Dowdle, they both can run the ball. The only biggest issue here that I think it's going to come down to is the O-line. And I think same thing with what you talked about, their offense, the Dolphins' offense.
Right.
I think both teams right now offensively are set up pretty similar. And it's going to come down to who can play the fastest and who can get ahead the quicker right off the bat, so you're not falling behind and just having to kind of catch up to the opposing team. Because right now, I mean, both quarterbacks can do things. They can throw the ball. They can run
both
the ball.
MVP kind of candidate quarterbacks, both of them, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it really does come down everything to just how long can the O-line, both O-lines, hold up in the game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
When you talk about this defense, it sounds like when you go through all the different pieces of the defense, it sounds like they got as much talent as any of the better defenses that they've played all season. How would you rate them? Like if you were saying, are they better than the Philly? Do they have more talent than the Philly defense?
I don't think they I don't think they have the pass rush that Philly has, but I think they've got the inside presence that Philly has. And I think they've got the one guy in Chubb would be very similar to what Hassan Reddick is.
Yeah.
So can you this group, when you watch them play, they tackle well. I was impressed of how well they get to the ball and get guys on the ground. That was something. Usually you watch teams that struggle, but they're so aggressive in the way that they play. Mm-hmm. I just was like, dang, that could have been a bigger gain there, but it wasn't. So I think the two teams are very similar. With the Cowboys, and there's explosive players on Cowboys offense, or explosive players on the Dolphins offense.
Yeah,
their ability at running back to run the ball is probably better than yours. But I think Ambar's right. I think it's going to come down to the health of both offensive lines, and if backup guys have to play in this game, which one of these backup offensive linemen hold up the best? Because that's going to tell the tale of the game, I believe, too. She's right about that.
We're going to take our final break. We will come back, and we'll have a little more talk on this Miami-Dallas matchup, the Cowboys offense versus Miami's defense. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable,
And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
How about this one? DeMarcus Lawrence is the Dallas Cowboys nominee for the 2023 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide. Help Tank raise funds for the Dak Prescott Faith Fight and Finish Foundation by casting your vote on NFL.com/Man of the Year or tweet your support using the hashtag WPMOY challenge. Voting ends on January 8th. Vote for Tank.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of the break live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We got a few more things I want to talk to you guys about regarding this matchup, and we'll hopefully get a couple fan questions in here towards the end of the show as well. Don't laugh at me.
Fan Derek Roy doesn't like you, fans. Sure. I'm just going to let you know that.
I try, man. I try.
Everybody else on the show really appreciates the fan.
I try. I really do try. All right, so here's the question. What was the primary reason for the offensive challenges we saw last week? I think there are a lot of things you could point to.
Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest thing that was the problem for Dallas last week against Buffalo?
I think the cover. I think Dallas looks so basic playing defense or playing offense last week. The routes look basic. It reminded me so much of the struggles that they had. And maybe the fact that Buffalo did a great job of playing, in my opinion, playing coverage and not allowing you any, because we felt like that Buffalo was going to give up some separation. They were going to give up some plays. They were going to, and their pass rush was good enough because it just kind of like, it rushed, and then it kind of, and then when nothing developed for Dak to get rid of the ball, we didn't see Dak getting rid of the ball with any quickness in this game. There wasn't any decisiveness. It was all like, man, I'm not sure. Throw it. I'm not sure. Throw it. You know, that kind of thing. And I think he was going through that. He saw a bunch of blue jerseys, and it's like it just looked like you could not see any white jerseys in a sea of blue. And I think that's something that really caused them problems. There was no combinations of the routes. The one that they had was the big one that went to the Cooks that they actually got the safety to play because of the Lamb route. But other than that, it seemed so just basic from what we've seen the previous 6-7 weeks. It's not something you would use for teaching film. Mm-hmm. You'd use it for teaching film on how to play defense. You wouldn't use it for, hey, this is offensive attack. Watch this. This is how you manipulate routes. And this is how it just seems so just, and I think give Buffalo credit for the way they played their guys in the back end.
If you look at the game, obviously there was some rain It was some rain early.
Yeah.
Got heavier towards the second half.
Yeah, it's too
how
late
much,
then.
How much do you think the weather really played a factor in the game?
No, not at all. I mean, obviously, I mean, you can't just disregard that. But
and I'm not trying to excuse anything. I'm just saying how much did it factor into what they were trying to do?
It shouldn't be that different. Like, we were there. We watched it. It was raining before the game. It stopped once kickoff started. The whole first half, it didn't seem like it was barely raining at all. Like, it dried up that way. Then into the second half, it kind of started sprinkling again, but it wasn't a whole lot. And we know they were practicing out here with buckets full of water and getting their hands wet and the balls wet. So the performance should not have been that bad to blaming on the weather is what I'm trying to say. Like, you should have played better. Yeah, you could have come out with the loss and everything, but the playing level should have been a lot higher than what it was. So don't blame it on the weather, because it wasn't even that bad.
And I like what she's saying there, because to me, that it almost like if Dallas could have played some good defense early in that game and not, you know, maybe you do get the block punt, maybe, you know, some things kind of you get off the field, you get them off the field, that kind of thing. And, you know, maybe if it was a more of an even game, you would have seen Dallas just run the football. And, like, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're going to make this a low-scoring.
Right.
Like I predict, I said I thought it was going to be a 20-16 Dallas victory. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that because I was thinking, okay, Dallas will be able to find a way to run the ball. They'll play some defense. But once their defense started just giving up gash plays and big runs, and Buffalo was not getting, you know, Buffalo was holding the ball all day, I was like, oh, man, this is not going to work today. This is not going to work. But they never could get the game back into control.
Right.
Those long drives, 12 plays, 13 plays, 75 yards, 8 minutes off the clock. That's just demoralizing. You know, that's to me, that is the absolute worst way to lose a football game, when you have no answer to stop somebody from running the football.
Yeah. I agree with you, Amber, that it's not an excuse. The one thing I will say is I do believe that because of their own doing, they got themselves into a hole where it's not conducive in that type of weather to get yourself out, right?
Yeah.
You get to that second half and the rain starts back up. That ain't the conditions that you're like, okay,
you
we're going
to
basically back up and throw it every time.
Yeah,
right?
You needed to have the lead at that point in time.
So they put themselves in the hole, but I do think the weather contributed to them not being able to dig themselves out.
I think I will say this, though. Weather, I do like what Ambar's saying, because they prepped it, maybe over-prepped it, maybe got into their head a little bit the way the tack looked like it was just so basic. But I will say this, though, that I'm going to give Buffalo's defense a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I just think the way that they didn't give you anything on the back end. They didn't give up any big plays. Any type of big play that they did give up, they were able to rally and not make, you know, it was a 16-yard pass or 18-yard pass. That was about it. They didn't really give up any huge 37-yard chunk plays that we've seen the previous 7 weeks.
Yeah.
But you know what? More than weather, I would say the stadium. When you go into that stadium, it's so it feels very intimate because of the way that it's constructed. It feels very intimate. It was extremely loud. Like, the Bills fans showed up. They were there. And most of the time, obviously because how the game was going, they were standing up, cheering, very, very loud, banging on our windows. And that was ridiculous and annoying. But I think that type of environment is harder to play more so than the little sprinkle of rain that was happening.
Yeah.
I got an update on Tyron Smith.
All right, what we got?
He's coming around.
Is that the update?
That's not very helpful,
He's
Brian.
That's the update.
That's not very helpful.
Look, sometimes you get good information. Sometimes you just say, okay.
He's coming around.
I don't know if we learned anything. But.
Yeah, he's coming around. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, that's a world we live in right now with Tyron Smith and others. We just, he's coming around. So we'll see how it works.
I think we all know when it comes to neck and back, you should be concerned. Until he clears it,
absolutely,
you should be concerned, because we've seen this before, and that's not a knock on him as much as it just that's reality. We've seen this before. You got to be aware and concerned until you see him clear it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get a question here from Ja'Kara Williams. He says, why not start Dante Fowler and move Parsons to linebacker? If they're having issues with linebacker, they need more size at linebacker. Is this a prime opportunity to use one of your best players at linebacker?
Sure.
Is Micah really a linebacker?
He was in college.
See, he was, but this is what's funny. We're dancing this dance, yeah. And we've danced it all year now. We've conveniently, I can't tell you how many times, and folks, trust me, I love you. I appreciate you out there. I appreciate you, fans.
But
it's so funny because when you bring up the point of Micah Parsons being a linebacker, people will fight you tooth and nail about it. He's not a linebacker. He's an edge rusher. Can't you see that? If you put him at linebacker, he's not going to be able to rush. He's not going to be able to do everything. He affects the game more at linebacker. What the hell are you talking about? There's a reason why you're a fired scout, because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's the arguments that I get. Mm-hmm. Then when you start to talk about, you know, linebacking is not, you know, maybe they're struggling a little bit against the run, you know. Now it's like now everybody is flipped and they're saying, well, it's obvious. He's a linebacker. Put him at off ball linebacker. What are you guys doing? What's your problem here? Folks, this is, in my opinion, you know what? I've learned he's an edge player. He is an edge player. He's one of the best defensive players in the National Football League when you put him near the ball, when you put him down on the line on the edge, or you put him inside against guards and centers who can't block him one-on-one. He is a weapon that way. He's not as effective as a linebacker as he is a down player. And you've got to figure that out. You've got to figure out some other things. You are who you are right now because of the injuries to Overshown and to Van Der Esch and others. That's who you are right now. But to sit there, I can't tell you how many people flip-flop on this. And I thought, yeah, he's a linebacker. I've always argued that he was a linebacker. But you watch him play and the way he affects games more playing hand down than he does playing as a linebacker.
Yeah, okay. It's like after so long of watching him, you see where he thrives the most. And that is being on the line and pressuring the quarterback. It's kind of like Zach Martin. Can he play tackle? Absolutely. Yeah. But where is he best at? A guard?
Yeah.
So it's that type, like, it depends, like, where do you want, okay, do you want, like, him playing his best? Or because of the needs that you currently have, do you prefer moving him? He's still going to play good, but now you're kind of, it depends, like, pick your...
Well, but here's the deal. I think we're making it seem like it has to be all or none. The way I look at this is, if you've got a team right now where, by the way, the linebackers that are playing right now are not linebackers. Yeah. If you want to talk about him being a linebacker, well, the guys that are linebacker aren't linebackers. They're safeties.
Or the safeties.
That you're bringing them down to play linebacker. So let's agree he's an edge player.
Yeah.
But does this edge player need to play linebacker? Because otherwise, you're going to get it handed to you in the run game. Like, you can't stop the run game when these safeties are down there because you're giving up so much size. My question becomes, could it be a situation where maybe even early in the game or in early downs where you're more prone to see the run, you put him at linebacker, and then on pass rush downs, put him down so he can go get the quarterback. Can you do both, right?
Go back and watch the Green Bay game of him playing Alf linebacker last year. They ran the ball for 240-something yards that game or more, I think. Green Bay.
You don't think he can play off-ball linebacker?
I don't think because you even
– He doesn't do it enough.
Even when you watched him in the Carolina game play linebacker, he ran around blocks. He jumped blocks.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like you say, the biggest problem that the Cowboys have right now is the lack of bulk, which you're trying to make up by putting Parsons in there as a bulk player.
Yeah.
But you also have to have the instincts to play. That's the to me.
But did he have those instincts in college though? Because I think coming out, we all thought he was a good off-ball linebacker. We didn't know he had the pass rush ability.
Right. But to me,
we keep referring to college. But how long has it been already? Like 3 years.
No, I get that. But if you got the instincts, yeah, right? They don't go away.
See, that's the thing about it is though, the prep work that he has to do to play off-ball linebacker is a lot different than the prep work he has to do for how he's going to play as the edge. That's something you have to think about too. You know, you have to feel okay when you. There's a reason why Sean Lee, Leighton Van Der Esch, guys like that are really good linebackers because they sit down and they study and they read and they watch film and they do everything in their power to get ready for a game. And when somebody runs a formation, they're thinking like, okay, we're about to get this. There's something to that. There's something to having to put in all that work to be that guy.
So you can't just show up if you're playing edge and be like, okay, today I'm playing linebacker. You got to really know you can prepare for that.
You absolutely have to. And so if his preparation to have to do that, I'll be interested to see that. I'd be interested to see how much that works. But when you play him at edge, he has a God-given talent to rush the passer wherever you put him. But people are saying, well, damn, Brian, it's not rush the passer. We're playing the run. He could play the run. They run the ball at him, too, sometimes. And it, some of the things when they run the ball at him, it's that awareness. Mm-hmm. It's that understanding what's happening.
Yep.
Things that, you know, like I say, go back and watch the Green Bay game where he was off-ball linebacker. And I think he's one. I think he's rare. I think he's an absolute rare player. But I'm going to try and figure out other things. And you're right. You're going to get it handed to you in the running game because of what's going on with Dan trying. And I keep saying this. The best defense for a run defense is an offense that scores a lot of points.
Yeah.
Because we've learned when they don't, when there's 35, 30, 40 points a game for the Dallas Cowboys, nobody's running the ball on you. You know, that's that. At least this year, you're going to have to get around that. You're going to have to.
Till you get your linebackers back.
Right.
All right. Appreciate you guys joining us. Tomorrow, we will wrap this thing up. We'll let you know what we think is going to happen this Sunday. Till then, for Brian Broaddus and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?